I'm Steve Potter, and coming up next on Cityscape, we're going to preview the second season for St. Louis's only subscription service for local art. Katie Peace is going to join us to explain how the organization, Community Supported Arts St. Louis, serves as an economic driver for cultural producers. The Chamber Music Society of St. Louis closes its season next Tuesday at the Sheldon with Hardcore Classics featuring Grammy Award-winning singer Sylvia McNair, who joins us on the phone from Bloomington. Hi, Sylvia. Welcome.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Good to talk to you again. And here in the studio, the Society's Executive and Artistic Director, Mark Gordon. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Steve. Good to be back.
Sylvia, last time we talked to you, you were here in St. Louis. You did a cabaret show, and you were also here in Opera Theater of St. Louis's production of Daughters of the Regiment.
That's right. That was in 2011, I think.
Yeah. What do you remember about that experience here? That was a busy week or two for you.
Well, it was a busy 2 months, actually. I mean, any time I can be a member of the Opera Theater of St. Louis company for 6 or 8 weeks, it's a very good time in my life. You know, I kind of got my start professionally at Opera Theater. I was there 5 seasons in the 1980s. 83, 84, 85, 87, and 89. And then they brought me back in 2011 to sing that crazy lady, what was her name, in The Daughter of the Regiment. And it was just a blast. It was great to be there as the senior member of a cast. And while I was there, I persuaded the Sheldon to let me do a cabaret show up in the room upstairs, the upstairs room.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I saw I saw the Daughters of the Regiment. It was a great performance by you and everyone, as a matter of fact.
It was a fun show. Yeah, I mean, it was great for me. All I had to do was appear at the end of the second act, do a comedy moment and a high note and leave the stage, and I was done for the night. It was great.
Sylvia, I know you're originally from Ohio, and you made a reference to those early years here with Opera Theater. What got you here in the first place?
Well, I mean, Opera Theater of St. Louis, certainly in the early 1980s, was and still is a premier training ground for young American singers, where you learn your craft from great directors and conductors. I had the pleasure of being cast for my very first summer there in an opera called Beatrice and Benedict, and Colin Graham, who was then the artistic director of Opera Theater, created an incredible production with lots of Shakespeare dialogue just for fun, just to keep singers on their toes. I kept my nose above water in that first production. They hired me back for 4 subsequent seasons, and I feel like Opera Theater of St. Louis is where I figured out how to walk in the opera business.
Mark, this current concert, the one coming up that Sylvia's a big part of, wraps up the season for you. Looking back, any highlights in particular?
Actually, this has been an amazing year for Chamber Music Society of St. Louis. If you think about it, we have 3 superstars all in the same season. We had Leonard Slatkin in October. We had Nicholas McGeegan in January and Sylvia McNair in May. For a small chamber organization, that's absolutely amazing.
Speaking of Leonard Slatkin, Sylvia, you were just with him last September, I guess, in France. You did a performance with him on his birthday?
Yes, and by the way, Mark, I'm very honored to be on that list of what you're calling superstars. Certainly Leonard Slatkin and Nick McGeegan are superstars. In any case, I sang one of the concerts that were created to help celebrate Leonard's 70th birthday. I mean, I think I can say that. It's not a secret.
Not anymore.
Exactly. I got to do a concert with his orchestra in Lyon, or L'Orchestre de Lyon. And what was particularly fun about that for me, besides hanging out with Leonard and all those wonderful musicians, and they are playing beautifully, is that I got to sing a 25-minute set of songs from the Joseph Canteloube Chanson d'Auvergne, the songs of the Auvergne. And I was actually singing them very near the Auvergne area of France. So that was kind of cool. I felt pretty good about that. That was fun.
Didn't you do some Gershwin too?
Also did some Gershwin on the second half. Yeah, it was French music on the first half and American music on the second half.
You know, Mark, you have a feeling about Sylvia's work. She started as a classical artist, opera, that sort of thing. Does American Songbook, Gershwin, now. And we were talking before we went on the air, and you made an interesting point about her work.
Yeah. Well, to start with, actually, Sylvia and I have worked quite a bit together because during my time in the St. Louis Symphony, of course, I was part of the orchestra for Opera Theater of St. Louis. But in the early 90s, I'm thinking 93, 94, we both performed and recorded Carl Orff's Carmina Burana. Do you remember that, Sylvia, with Leonard Stephen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I can still see the faces of the orchestra when Sylvia started singing. We had all known her from the 80s, of course, from opera theater, and this was this amazing voice. And this is really important to instrumentalists because as an instrumentalist, we're trained from early on that we are to make our instruments sound like the human voice. That's what we should emulate, whether we're a string player or a wind player, whatever. So to have that right in front of us on the same stage was absolutely amazing. Then, 2011, we were talking about earlier, the cabaret show that Sylvia did at the Sheldon, I was there to hear that. And to hear someone who is classically trained, an opera singer, sing that genre of music and not sound like an opera singer singing another genre of music was spectacular. So it blew me away.
Is that something you're very conscious of, or did that just come naturally for you?
You're making me smile, but wait a minute. I have to back up to address the first thing that you said, which is that instrumentalists are told they need to make their instruments sound like the human voice. But let me just say to you, as a singer, as a vocalist, what I'm really trying to do is sing with the musical discipline that the instrumentalists play with, the pitch and the phrasing and the high standard of music making that instrumentalists do. I'm trying to make my voice much more like an instrument. So I guess it goes around in a big, beautiful circle. Well, thank you for your comment about how I sing the Great American Songbook material. I have to say, I feel like I learned how to do opera. I learned how to do classical music. I learned that kind of vocal production, all that stuff. But what I am most comfortable doing, what I'm really living in my own skin, as they say, is when I'm singing the American Songbook material. It just fits my personality. It fits my voice. I love it. I never tire of it, either in practice sessions or performances. I feel when I'm doing that material like I'm doing what I was put on earth to do, and it's a very nice feeling.
Sylvia, did you know that back in the 1980s, early in your career when you were singing with opera theater here? Did you know that then?
Well, I always did popular rep and American Songbook material, but I didn't ever have time or space in my life to do it and do only that because I was busy doing all these other things. So now I've gotten to a place in my career, I guess, where, you know, I can pretty much do what I want and agree to the projects that really light my fires. I have to say that is really all I'm doing now are American Songbook projects, whether it's musical theater productions or symphonic pops or cabaret engagements.
Well, we're going to talk about the concert next Tuesday in just a moment. Before we do that, though, your most recent CD is Romance. Would you share something from that with us?
I would love to share something from that CD with you. This is a piece called Insensatez by Jobim, Brazil's national treasure.
That's Sylvia McNair from her CD, Romance. I didn't understand a word of it, but it was beautiful. What was that about?
Well, insensitivity. Let's just leave it at that.
All right. Sylvia McNair is going to be headlining, if I can put it that way, the Chamber Music Society's Hardcore Classics, which is next Tuesday. Sylvia's on the phone with us. Mark Gordon from the Society is here in the studio. Mark, Hardcore Classics.
Yeah, we came up with that name because the original intent when the Chamber got started 6 years ago was that we were going to do one program that would have a little more depth to it, more difficult pieces, longer in length, and people went nuts over it. So we've pretty much incorporated it into our regular season. So the name was for people who were really hardcore about longer major chamber works. So I don't know that the name applies that, but people seem to really enjoy the name. So it ends up finishing our season every year.
Uh-huh. Sylvia, you're going to be singing at this concert, The Great American Songbook, along with pianist Carol Beth True.
That's right.
So what have you got planned for us next Tuesday?
Well, hang on. One of the pieces I'm doing, in fact, the piece that I was hired originally to do on this concert next Tuesday is a piece that was composed by Paul Reuter, who is the executive director of the Sheldon and a wonderful friend and a wonderful musician. And he composed this piece called Temple Built in Trust and Hope with texts by Percival Chubb and Walter Sheldon. Now, I haven't done my homework to know if one of the two lyricists on this piece, Walter Sheldon, is indeed the same Sheldon as the concert hall is named for. But the words to this piece that Paul has written are fantastic. And the first time I'm singing it, it was written for Christine Brewer and performed in St. Louis, I don't know, a couple of years ago. But Christine was not available for this engagement, so, you know, they had to go to the bench. And I was available. So that is the piece that I was engaged to sing. Now, it's only about a 7 or 8 minute piece. It's not a hardcore, full-length choral, vocal, orchestral work. But it is a beautiful work, and I'm enjoying preparing it very, very much. And then Paul said to me, well, since you're coming anyhow, would you mind doing a couple of pieces from your songbook show? And I said, of course. So I think I'll do a little Sondheim, some Gershwin, and then close with a new medley about being happy.
Are you happy? I hate to ask you that.
You know, when I can sing music I love with people I love in places I love, I tell you, that's as good as it gets in my life. And then when those things are in place, yes, I'm extremely happy.
Okay, since you said that, though, I have to ask you one thing about what I read on your bio. It shows that you have a sense of humor. Your bio says you're holding out hope for a Tony and an Oscar, but you aren't getting any younger.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Yeah, I mean, if I had a magic wand and could make all my dreams come true, somebody would hire me to sing the Mother Abbess in the new Broadway production of Sound of Music. Absolutely right.
Mark, is there anything you'd like to say about the other artists performing next Tuesday? Or
yes, what? And to that piece that Sylvia was talking about, Temple Built in Trust and Hope, it was actually composed, Paul composed it for the 100th anniversary of the Sheldon.
And, cool.
It was really exciting. They performed it on October 11th, 2012, and the text was based on some text that was used in the original opening of the Sheldon back in 1912. And there's two different, there was a guy named Percival Chubb, who you mentioned, he was then the head of the Ethical Society, and then Walter Sheldon, who was actually, you're right, was who the Sheldon was named for. He started the St. Louis branch of the Ethical Society, and so he had written some text as well. So there's kind of a real history to that piece that was inspiring Paul to write it.
Very cool story. I'm so happy you shared that with me, Mark, because there was a vibration coming off of the page that sort of spoke to that, but now you've confirmed it, so thank you for that. Great.
Also on the program, we have an amazing work, the Mendelssohn Octet for Strings, which is a rarity because we did it last year, but the audience responded so positively to it that I had to program it again. Also, the Mozart Quartet for Oboe, Violin, and Viola with Philip Ross as the oboe soloist, and some very favorite Chopin piano works with our pianist Alla Voskobonyakova. And then, of course, Sylvia's Great American Songbook.
The Chamber Music Society of St. Louis presents Hardcore Classics featuring Sylvia McNair next Tuesday, 7:30 at the Sheldon. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape, and we'll have all the information that you need. Mark, just real briefly, anything to look forward to next season? This closes this season.
All that information will be up on the website. Very successful year this year and some great, exciting concerts next year.
Sylvia McNair will be here Tuesday. She's on the phone now from Bloomington. And just briefly, Sylvia, you're there because you are on the faculty at Indiana University.
That's correct. And loving every minute of it. I think working with students is becoming one of the largest blessings in my life, which has been full of blessings. But there is a magic and a power to spending a lot of hours every year with people half your age. And being able to share with them, you know, the knowledge and the experience of over three decades of working in the music business. And I am absolutely loving it.
Well, Sylvia, I'm a big fan. We look forward to seeing you next Tuesday. Thanks so much for joining us today.
I can't wait to be there.
And Mark Gordon from the Chamber Music Society, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Coming up next on Cityscape, a subscription service for local art. This is St. Louis Public Radio.